Good morning and welcome to the Father's House and happy Mother's Day. All right, I'm going to get started. I love you. I love you. I love you. I think the greatest miracle in the Bible, the greatest miracle is love. Jesus' love for us. I love you. I love you. I love you. How could a God that's so holy love us when we're so unholy? We're so messed up. I think that was a miracle. I love you. I love you. I love you. I believe it's the greatest gift, and I believe we can do that gift. I mean, I don't know. I hadn't walked on water. I hadn't stopped any storms. I hadn't did anything, but I can walk in love. That's the greatest gift, the greatest miracle. I love you. I love you. I love you this morning. All right, number two. I am the holiness of God. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm a saint. Now, when I say that, I say it humbly. I bow my head and I bow my heart. I say it humbly because I know, even though God has said I'm holy, I didn't earn it. It was His holiness that He gave to me. God might say I'm His righteousness, but I didn't earn it. It's His righteousness, and He made me righteous, and He gave it to me. He created, He was a saint, and He made me a saint by giving it to me. I didn't earn it. I'm holy, I'm righteous, I'm His saint because He gave it to me. And I understand that, and since I understand that and know that, I don't come with my chest up and my head high talking about I'm the righteousness of God, and I don't act like I got an attitude because I earned it. I didn't earn anything. It's because of Him. And so when I come into His presence, when I come into anybody else's presence as a Christian, I come humbly. And I want people to know, hey, He gave it to me. I didn't earn it. And I come with my head bowed and my heart bowed before God and before people. I want them to know it's because of Him. Number three, prayer. I have been praying for you. And my prayer this week for you has been that you would spend time, quiet time, with God and listen to Him. Just listen to Him. He has a lot to say. He's been saying a lot to me. And He has so much to say to you. My dad, I remember my dad, an awesome dad, A++. My dad is got it, and he loved me. And he has so much wisdom, and there's so much he wants to tell me and wanted to say to me. But when I was younger, I didn't want to hear him. I was constantly running and going and ripping, and I was just doing my own thing. And he wanted to tell me, but I'm like, I ain't got time to listen to you. And I'm going. But now that I'm older, now that I know, He has so much wisdom and so much insight. If I would have just sat down and listened, I would have missed a whole lot of pain and a whole lot of trouble. And so now I just want to sit down and listen to Him. My prayer is that you want to sit and hear God. Take time out in your quiet time. I know you got time where you got to talk to God and you got to tell Him stuff and you got to let Him know what's going on. But there's some time where it's just quiet time, just between you and the Lord. And let Him talk to you. Let Him tell you stuff. There's a lot of things He want to tell you. Just spend time with Him. That's my prayer, that you will spend time and just listen to God. There's a lot of things He wants to say. All right, well, let's get started. In my quiet time, here's what I heard. I heard the Lord kind of say to me, remember, review, goal, repetition. Get these things in your spirit. These are things I already know, and some of these things I'm gonna talk about, you've already heard me talk about. But God said, get this stuff in your spirit. Get it in your spirit so that you have it. And so when life hits you, you're ready. Like an athlete, you constantly do things over and over and over so that you get it into you. So when you get into that game, it becomes second hand. You just do it automatically. Get this into your spirit. I hate to be a downer, but I want to be real. It ain't going to get better. The world is not going to get better. Jesus is coming back, and when he comes back, he's going to make everything right. He's going to set everything straight. It will be the way it's supposed to be. But until he comes back, and he tells us in his word, it's going to get worse before it gets better. People are going to get crazier, especially after this pandemic. It's going to get crazier. People are going to get meaner, uglier, and nastier. It ain't going to get better. And we have to know who we are in Christ Jesus. And we're going to have to get it. And so God said, Dan, remember these things. Set these things in your heart. Hold on to them. Go over them and over them in your heart and in your mind until you got it. So that when life hits you. See, and I'm, as a matter of fact, I got my props right here. I'm going to show you my props. I'm going to go through my props. And the reason I use props or memory tools for me is because when life hits me, sometimes I can't remember a scripture and verse. I mean, I'm just not. I know you're perfect and you got it down. I'm not like that. When life, like, there's a verse that talks about turn the other cheek. But I know when life slaps me upside my face, I'm in shock. And I can't remember that scripture and I can't remember that verse. And I need a memory tool or something to go to that says, all right, you got to turn the other cheek. Because right now I want to knock you out. I want to punch you in the face. And I can't remember that scripture and I can't remember that verse. Well, I have memory tools or props that I use to kind of remind me, because life will slap you. This world's going to slap you. But if you got your stuff together, if you remember what God said to you, if you've been going over it and over and over it, you'll be able to handle it. So I want to go over. I got a few things I want to go over and see if I can get it done and get out of your way. Number one, write your plans in pencil. You've heard me say this before. Write your plans in pencil. Write your plan. What that means is you need to be able to erase your plans if need be. Put it like this. You're in charge of plans, but God is in charge of your footsteps. God can change your path. You remember the disciples in the Bible. You got disciples, and before they were disciples, Jesus comes to them. You got some that are fishermen, some that are businessmen, some that are doctors, some that are tax collectors, and Jesus comes to them. They got their plans, they're going on with their life, with their family, they're doing their thing, and then Jesus comes to them and says, hey, follow me. Follow me. They had to end their plans, change their plans, erase their plans, and follow him. God is in charge of your footsteps. Let him be in charge. You might have a plan. You might be doing something. You might be going somewhere. You might have been going somewhere before this pandemic happened. And all of a sudden, bam! God is changing your footsteps. God is changing where he wants you to go. Follow him. If you don't follow him, you're going to miss. The disciples, they weren't disciples before then. They had their plan, they were going on with their life, and then he comes in and he says, follow me. He changed their footsteps. Follow him. And look at that now, they're blessed. If you don't follow him, you're going to miss God. You're going to miss his blessings. It talks about there's a rich young ruler, and Jesus comes in and he messes up his plans. He says, hey, listen, I know you got plans. I know you plan to be rich and go on and do things, but here, I want you to follow me. Sell all you got, come and follow me. And he could have been one of the disciples, maybe written something in the epistle or in the Bible, could have been something great. He missed it. He wouldn't change his plans. He missed the blessing of God. Write your plans in pencil. Let him direct your footsteps. He wants you to follow him. I never forget, I kind of got bent out of shape because, you know, I was supposed to be rich and famous, a football star and all that stuff like that. And God said, hey, let's start walking this way. And I kind of got mad and I was like, God, this is my dream. What about my dream? And the Lord said, what about my dream? I got a dream for you too, Van. And I heard him. And I said, okay, Lord. Write your plans in pencil. Be ready to change. Be ready to move. When God's ready to go another direction, go with him. Don't fight him. Number two, write your priorities in pen. Put it in ink. Make sure you got it right. Matthew 6 talks about no man can serve two masters. You can't serve God and you can't serve money. Put it in pen. God is number one. Money is number two. You can't serve both of them. I like to think of it like this. God is the bank and my checkbook is the money. My bank account is the money. God is the bank. My bank account, that's my money. I need to pay more attention to the bank or God than I do to my bank account. My bank account does not rule me. It doesn't run me. The bank or God runs me because he has it all. So it looks like this. The bank or God says to me, hey, Van, I want you to build this or start this or do this. And I look at my bank account and say, well, I can't do it. I don't have enough. The bank has enough. The bank knows what it's doing. The bank says, you go ahead and do it anyway. Don't look at your bank account. Look at the bank. Listen to the bank. If I listen to the bank will take care of everything. That means I'm putting the bank first, not my bank account. If I want to do something and I have enough in my bank account, and God says, no, don't do that. No, we don't want to go there. But I listen to my bank account more than I listen to the bank, the Lord, I'm going to have a mess. The bank or God rules, not my bank account. You see this in the Bible. Remember Moses? God comes to Moses and says, Moses, I want you to take millions of people out of Egypt into the desert. Take care of them. Moses looks at his bank account and says, I can't do that. Ain't no way. But God says, don't look at your bank account. Don't look at what you got. Look at what I got. Moses pays attention to God and the people are freed. Pharaoh. God comes to Pharaoh and he says, Pharaoh, hey, let my people go. I know you got a bank account that can handle it. I know you're dealing with my people, you're handling, you got them in slavery, but you're controlling me. You got the bank account to do it. But I want you to stop. I want you to listen to me. Pharaoh didn't listen to him, and we know the story. Listen to the bank, not your bank account. Write your priorities in pen. God is number one. God, whatever you say, whether I got it in my account, whether I don't have it in my account, what do you say? Hear God. Three, beach. Towel represents going to the beach. Go to the beach. You heard me talk about God's mercy. God is full of mercy. His mercy is like the beach. He's full of grace. It's like the ocean, full. We have mess in our life. We have stuff in our life. We do things that are wrong, that we mess up. And the devil will come and he'll condemn us. He won't convict us, he'll condemn us. Condemnation means, hey, I show you your sin, I show you you're wrong, and then I try to drown you in it. I won't try to help you. I try to make you die in it. You get depressed, you get down, you get on yourself. Condemnation. It's like your mess, you got a pool of mess. Some pools are bigger than others. Some got Olympic-sized pools. You got a pool of mess. But what God wants you to understand, hey, I don't care how much mess you got. I have an ocean full of mercy. And you can take your pool of mess and bring it to my ocean and drop it. And I'll put your sins in the bottom of the sea. I will remember them no more. And you can enjoy the beach, the grace and the mercy, my blessing. You can be relaxed. Yes, I will convict you. I will show you you're wrong, but then I'll help you get out of it. I'll help you get through. I won't condemn you. Condemnation will beat you down and try to bury you to death, put you in a grave. Conviction will try to bring you life. It will help you. I have enough mercy for your mess. Go to the beach. Van, remember that. Go to the beach. Sometimes we've done things, we know it, we did it. We did it on purpose. We did those things. And the Satan will come and he'll beat you up. And he'll try to beat you down and try to get you to get so discouraged with yourself that you'll try to walk away from God. And he doesn't want you to go to the beach. But you take your mess, you take your pool of mess, and you go right to the beach and throw it into the beach, into the ocean, and let God take care of it. Forgive. Repent. Let him deal with it. Forgive yourself. Forgive others. Let him deal with it. Let him handle it. Go to the beach. He will convict you, the Lord, but he won't condemn you. He loves you. I remember when I was in the youth ministry for a while, and I was dogmatic about a certain thing, and I was just on it, and I would just say something. I don't want to hear anybody talk about this, this is how I felt about certain things. And there was a young kid, and he had some troubles, and he was struggling with some things, but I didn't want to hear, and I was dogmatic about it, and I just put him off. And he grew up, and he went on in life, and went through life, and he struggled. And later on, when he was older, he came to me and he started talking to me. He said, "Van, I wanted to talk to you way back when I was a young kid, and I wanted to tell you about these things, and I wanted to get your help and your advice, but you were so dogmatic, you were so hard, and I couldn't do it, and I struggled, and I failed, things went wrong in my life and my marriage and my jobs and stuff because I struggled, and I wanted to get your help, but you didn't want to help me in that area. And I felt so bad. I really felt bad, and I hurt, and I even began to cry, and I was like, 'Lord, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry.' And then Satan started beating me up, and I had to go to the beach, and I had to go and say, 'Lord, forgive me.' And he took my mess, and he put it in the ocean, and he gathered, and he said, 'Van, I'll take care of it. I'll work this out. You relax, you rest, I'll take care of it.' We're going to mess up. We're not going to always do it right. But he's got enough mercy. He's full of mercy. James will talk about James 5. He's full of mercy. And it'll handle your mess. It'll handle your slip-ups, your sins. Trash. Trash. If you've been around me, you heard me say this. There are no trash cans in heaven. God didn't have a sanitation department. Because of God's ability to see in the future, his gift to know what's going to go on, he takes care of everything. He handles everything. He uses everything. And he uses it completely up. He doesn't waste anything. There is nothing wasted. There is no trash cans. There are no trash cans in heaven. There's no trash. He uses everything. Romans 8:28. He makes all things work out for the good of those who love him. He'll make all things. He uses everything. The good, the bad, the ugly. He uses everything. He'll make all of it work out for the good. And not only just for the good, but for your good. He'll make it all work out. He uses everything. Nothing is wasted. Nothing is thrown to the side. Any pain you've been through, he'll use it. Any problems you've been through, he'll use it. Any pressure you've been through, he'll use it. Any sickness, any sadness, anything you've gone through, any suffering, he'll take it and he'll use it and he'll work it for your good. Nothing is trash. Nothing is unusable. God doesn't have a trash can. There's no trash cans in heaven. God doesn't waste anything. Everything he'll make, and he'll make it all work out for your good. Not just for good, for your good. That means it's personal. He'll make it work out for you. I love this story. If you get a chance, either read this book or go get on YouTube and check out Anthony Hinton. He spent 30 years on death row. And they finally, and wrongfully convicted. And he finally got free. And God is using him. And God has taken this beautiful, if you listen to it, you listen to his story, you read it. God has used him. And he's used all those years. And he's made it all work out for his good. If God can do that, he can do it for you. God didn't waste anything. God uses everything. All your pain, all your suffering, all your heartache, he will use it all to make it work out for your good. There are no trash cans in heaven. Last thing. I got a whistle right here. And again, I use these things, these illustrations, so when I'm facing life, I'm going through stuff, I know. Jesus is my coach. He loves me. He wants me to do the best for him. 1 Corinthians 10:31 talks about, do all for the glory of God. Give your best for him. He's our coach. Play for him. Give your all for him. All glory goes to him. I used to play football on college level. And you got 50, 60, 70,000 fans in a stadium. You got a crowd. And when you're playing before a crowd, especially if you're playing before a home crowd, that's a good thing. You know, because they cheer for you when you do good. And if you don't do good, they're like, come on, come on, come on. They want to build you up. It's not hard to play in front of your home crowd. But it is very hard to play in front of your enemy or your opponent. And you're playing it at another crowd, away game. It's hard because you got a crowd, 40, 50, 60,000, and they're yelling at you. And if you do good, they're mad. And they'll curse you and they'll say things about you. And you're doing good. You're doing a good job. But they don't care. They don't like what you're doing. And they'll make it known and they'll tell you. If you do good, they're mad at you. And if you do bad, they're happy. They're cheering, they're yelling, keep doing it again. And so it doesn't matter how good you do. They can't stand you. This world is not our home. This is not home. This is a away game. This is not a home game. We live in this world. And we live in a world, there are opponents, they don't like us. And when you do for God, when you live for God, you're in front of this crowd will get mad and will get upset when you do good. They're not going to clap for you, they're going to boo you. That's what this world will do. In this world, when you mess up, they cheer, they're happy, they're excited. Yes, I'm glad you messed up, hope you mess up again. That's the way this world is. What I have to understand and what I have to remember is I'm not playing for the crowd. In my past, I tried to play. I tried to please the crowd. I tried to do what people said. Don't play for the crowd. Play for your coach. All glory goes to my coach. When I play for my coach, if I do good, he claps for me. If I mess up, he'll encourage me and say, he'll lift me up and say, hey, keep trying. I'm not playing for the crowd. I'm playing for the coach, my coach, Jesus. All glory goes to him. Don't do this. Don't walk this life out for people. You walk it out for the Lord. He's our coach. He's the one we play for. Get this in your spirit. Pencil. Remember, write your plans in pencil. It's all right. You're in control of your plans. But when he comes in with the footsteps, when he says, hey, we got to go, here's what we need to do. Follow him. Priorities in pen. God is number one. Whatever God says, do it. If he doesn't want you to do it, leave it alone. Let it go. Follow him. Beach. Go to the beach. Go to the beach. We're not perfect. We're going to mess up. When we mess up, go to the beach. Go get his mercy. Go get in it. He's got full of grace, full of mercy. He'll wash you. He'll cleanse you. It'll always be there. It's open to everybody who will come. Remember, everything that you're going through in your life, God's going to use it for your good. There's no trash cans. God gets rid of trash. He doesn't have any trash. He's already planned it. He's already set it up. Just trust him. You got to walk with him, though. He got you. Last thing. He's our coach. All glory goes to God. All glory goes to God. I play for Jesus. I don't play for people. I don't play for my husband or my wife. And I don't play for my brothers and sisters. I don't pray for anybody. I pray and I play for Jesus. Amen. Father, bless your people. Bless who here. In Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed.